Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. Somebody who's taught me almost more than anyone else out there, and he's out there fighting all the time, not just for freedom and liberty and this country, but for our children as well. I'm honored to welcome back Alex Newman to the show. Thank you for joining me, sir.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much, Mel.
Thank you. Now, I just want to ask first and foremost, because there's so much distraction and you and I have gone through all the documents. We read the papers nobody wants to read. We've seen this through years of watching the manipulation out there. There is a tremendous amount of distraction, I feel like, purposeful distraction, division among people that actually all have the same goal, but they're deciding who's the good guys, who's the bad guys. And we're not even paying attention to the fact that they're trying to divide us. So when you look at the landscape, what do you see as the distraction that we shouldn't be looking at, but really what everyone should be getting together and focusing on specifically?
Well, thanks, Mel. And this is a huge issue. I've been seeing it for a long time. And in fact, the people who are doing this are doing it very deliberately and very strategically. They learned a lot, for example, from the old Soviet Union about how to fracture the opposition, get them bickering amongst each other, make them suspicious of each other. And that's not to say that we don't become suspicious of people when they're promoting dangerous or bad ideas. In fact, that's one of the big dangers, is that they infiltrate our organizations. They send us false leaders to rally behind. And this is all done on purpose. So first, there are the distractions, right? Issues that are not really important. Then there are the issues where they want everybody to line up on one side and they control both sides, which, I mean, this happens so, so frequently. And then there are the issues where they hope to, they use truth. They take very serious issues like, hey, our country's under attack. Yes, it is. They're trying to destroy our constitution. Yes, they are. And then they give you a totally false or a totally counterproductive solution. And there are different examples of this. I mean, there are the obvious ones, right? When the FBI sends some clown into an organization and starts saying, hey, let's bomb something or let's kidnap somebody. And, almost right away, you can say, all right, you work for the FBI or you're an idiot. That's enough. We're not going to hear any more of this. Please leave the property immediately before we have to call the sheriff. So those are more obvious. Then there are other issues where they try to get us down a path that will ultimately hurt us. And we see a lot of that. In fact, I have several movements in mind. They're getting huge amounts of money that are very dangerous. But this is all calculated. It's by design. And so I think one of the big things to remember is we've got to unite on core principles. None of us are ever going to agree with each other on 100% of the things. And Ronald Reagan talked about this. If we agree on 80% of stuff and we're all moving in the right direction, we can work out the smaller stuff later. Let's stop this freight train over the cliff that intends to destroy humanity, to enslave humanity, to eliminate our liberties. And then we can work out the smaller details of what would be a good tax rate and things like this, right? First, let's just hit the brakes on the crazy train. So if you agree that, God and country and family are good, then we're generally moving in the same direction. And so to the extent that we can work together, we should. And we can work together with people who we don't necessarily agree with on everything. One thing that I don't like, Mel, and I know you've seen this a lot too, is the cancel culture, where somebody utters something that we may not agree with. And like, well, you're kicked off the movement. You can't be part of our friendship anymore. It's very damaging to the movement, and it contributes to this fracturing of the opposition to the evil.
Yeah, it's so true. And I watch it all the time. And I tell people limit your social media interactions, because again, Absolutely. You and I have also discussed many times that there is an infiltration, because I call it the unconstitutional intelligence branch blob that came of the Patriot Act. They're in bed with big tech. And a lot That's of people right. still don't realize that behind the scenes, the Twitter files came out and the YouTube files. That hasn't stopped. And I think people think that there was some adjudication there and it stopped. No, they're fighting it in court still to have that power. And just this last 24 hours, we saw Chris Wray, Lisa Monaco, and Merrick Garland come out and say that they are starting to up the ante on anyone that interferes with the election, anyone that intimidates an election worker, anyone that tries to get involved. And this, to me, this far out, is ominous, thinking back to the Transition Integrity Project and the year before the 2020 election, when they're saying Trump isn't going to concede and setting up a narrative that there's a problem. And to me, you know, this is them signaling to us that they are actually not stopping. In fact, it appears that they will be upping the censorship, the big brother aspect of what's going on, especially on social media.
No question. And folks need to remember, the people writing these algorithms are not your friend. And they're the ones who are determining what you're going to see, whose content you're going to see, when you're going to see it. So always remember, there is a mind behind this. Somebody wrote a computer program to determine what you were going to see. And for people who think they're going to save the world by posting on social media, I mean, get unplugged from the machine for a while. Go out into the real world. You're not going to save the world using a playpen that the evildoers themselves built for you. Yes, we're going to see a whole lot more of this in this election. And Mel, I just want to remind people of what Jesus said on this very issue, right? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. In fact, in one of the verses, he says, we'll be brought to desolation, is how some of the translations use it. So we need to recognize that we have to stop being divided. The people, in many cases, writing these algorithms are doing so for the purpose of fracturing all of American society, right? Sending us down rabbit trails, making us hate our neighbors. We have to be very, very careful not to form our opinions or allow the people writing these algorithms to determine what we see, how we see the world, how we see our neighbors. It's very, very dangerous. And they're doing this on purpose.
Yeah. And I say to people all the time, if you have an emotional reaction immediately from something that's going on online and people fighting back and forth, you're being manipulated. And if you know that you're being manipulated, you know it's propaganda, you have the ability to check out, to not participate. And I think that's a really good thing for people to think about, because the demoralization campaign is the strongest. I think watching the lawfare of Donald Trump, I keep saying to people, this isn't about Donald Trump. This lawfare of Donald Trump is about everyone that supports what he is, I guess, the leader of this movement for freedom and for liberty and for the Constitution. It's us. It's the people that believe in sovereignty and the nation state model and the Constitution and Bill of Rights and all of that. So people have to realize they are being demoralized to kind of subdue them, to make them helpless and all of that. And I really love that you're out there on all kinds of mainstream media now, or as mainstream as it gets for people telling the truth. So one thing I did want to bring up, because I don't know if people know this, but in September of 2023, the Obama-Biden-Harris regime put out a commitment to global goals, a recommitment to Agenda 2030. It's on the White House website. It basically says Obama signed on in 2015 and Biden-Harris are going to complete it, not only complete it, but they're going to be leading the installation of Agenda 2030. And it's right there to see, but very few people ever even utter the words Agenda 2030. Like, it's still a conspiracy theory when it's on all of their websites, not just the White House website, on every global institution, all the way up to the IMF, World Bank, you know, NATO, all of them. So what is the thing going on that maybe you and one other two people actually mention Agenda 2030 is real? It's a real thing and it's a goal and it's not that far away.
It is extremely important, Mel, and that should have been obvious. This is a perfect example of what you're talking about. They're distracting us with things that we have no control over that are really irrelevant, while the really important thing passes by unnoticed. And the 2030 Agenda, the Sustainable Development Goals, is a perfect example of that. This should have been front page news on every media outlet, liberal, conservative, alternative, mainstream. The UN leadership was calling this the master plan for humanity. Pretty much every dictator, president, king, potentate in the world came to New York to sign on to these things during the UN General Assembly in 2015. The Pope was there to usher it all in. I mean, this is a hugely significant gathering. And as they themselves said, this is going to transform our world. Nobody will be left behind. These are all talking points directly from the text. So for those who still haven't heard of this, a quick bringing you up to speed segment. There are 17 sustainable development goals. Some of them are just window dressing. Oh, we're going to end world hunger. We're going to end poverty, things like this. No, they're not going to do that. In fact, the things that they're talking about doing will radically increase world hunger, will radically increase poverty. So ignore the window dressing. What is it really about? It is about completely restructuring the planet, society, the model of governance, the legal system, the environment, everything that you can think of, every element of your life to be restructured. What's the new model? Global, technocratic, some weird freakish fusion of communism and fascism, right? They've recognized that communism is so incredibly unproductive that the whole system would collapse in on itself very quickly if it didn't have capitalist societies to leech off of. So now they're kind of restructuring it more along the China model. Yes, we'll allow some price mechanisms, we'll allow some market mechanisms to help allocate capital, but ultimately the power brokers behind the scenes will run the whole economy. And you don't have to read between the lines to see this. I encourage everybody to read the 2030 agenda. Very short, not that complicated. Goal number 10, we're going to redistribute wealth, not just within countries anymore, but among countries is what they say. They say that they're going to be making fundamental changes in the way societies produce and consume goods. Well, how do you do that? You have to have the government control the way societies produce and consume goods by definition, right? How else would you make the changes? This is exactly what Karl Marx talked about. The government should control the means of production. That's what they're saying in a slightly different verbiage. So this is a plan for total restructuring of life on Earth. Goal number 4, I think, is one of the most important. Last time I was on with you, Mel, we talked about education.
Right.
They actually say goal number 4, education for everybody. And by education, they don't mean what normal people think they mean. Right? Education, as they define it in goal number 4, means that everybody by 2030 will be so brainwashed, in the words of the UN, they will promote sustainable development, which is this crazy ideology, get rid of private property rights, let the government have all power and authority, et cetera. They will promote the UN's understanding of human rights, which for perspective is just exactly the opposite as America's understanding, right? In our vision, as our founding father said, God gave us rights. We create government to help protect rights. That's the proper order of things. In the UN's vision, the UN gives you privileges. None of those privileges, according to Article 29 of the UN Declaration of Human Rights, may be used contrary to the purposes and principles of the UN, and the UN and governments can revoke those privileges from you at any time. It's literally the opposite of what normal Americans understand with rights. They must promote gender equality, which in UN speak means smash the family, end the patriarchy, get the children in the government schools as quickly as possible, et cetera, et cetera. So on and on down the list it goes. They're telling you they're going to brainwash your kids. And I could go on, right? We got to restructure farming. We got to restructure the legal systems. All of it designed to reduce humanity to absolute serfdom, and all of it designed to empower the UN. There's one more thing I'll say about this, Mel. When you read the 2030 agenda and all these lofty goals, we're going to end hunger, we're going to end poverty, recognize this requires a blank check written from humanity to the UN. All your money, all your freedom is on that blank check. You hand it to them and say, okay, solve world poverty, solve world hunger. They'll be happy to work on it with all your money and all your freedom. So that's what they're going for. I wrote an article about this in 2015, right when it happened. And for years, Mel, it was right at the top of Google. If you typed in 2030 agenda, agenda 2030, UN agenda 2030, it was the first result. Well, now we know Google and the UN have entered into a partnership, and you now cannot find my work anymore on Google. You have to go to like page 87, I think it is, to find my stuff.
I noticed because I looked for your work because you actually were the first person that really sounded the alarm to me about the high level of CCP involvement at the UN. And people don't know that. And I had covered with Nor bin Laden the last Davos meeting, and nobody was talking about that. The CCP was treated as VIPs there. And this is a long game. A lot of people don't know about the Trilateral Commission. They don't know about the big investment of Kissinger and all the original, you know, technocrats and everyone into making China the model for all of what we're talking about. So people still get very confused because they say, well, China's our enemy. Well, the people that want to instill Agenda 2030 are very vocal about the idea that the way China manages resources is the most efficient and the best way to do it, i.e. resources us. So it's interesting to me that in the conversation of globalism, for whatever reason, China is left out of it when it's really a gigantic part of it and always was.
You're exactly right, Mel. And I'm glad that people are starting to come to this realization. In my book on the deep state, I have a whole chapter on China. And when I first wrote this, I even struggled with some of my editors. Like, is China really that important? Yes, China's really that important. So let's go back in time. The same deep state evil doing organizations that are working to enslave us today actually brought Chairman Mao and these butchers to power in China. They did it on purpose. They betrayed our ally, Chiang Kai-shek. They stuck a knife in his back. They put an arms embargo on him after he had lost an enormous number of men fighting alongside Americans against the Japanese. They brought Mao to power. Then they built up his regime to become a global superpower. They transferred our technology, military, commercial, and otherwise over there. Massive amounts of Western investment. Thank you, Goldman Sachs. Thank you, BlackRock. Thank you, all the rest of the banking cartel. And now they're using China in a number of different ways. One is the model. You're exactly right. They believe the model in China is the model that the whole world should move toward. And if you don't believe me, ask the globalists themselves. All right, 1973, David Rockefeller publishes, after a trip to China, a piece in the New York Slimes. You can still read it today. It's in their archives. It's called From a China Traveler. What he says is the social experiment in China under Chairman Mao's leadership is one of the most important and successful in human history. And he just can't stop talking about how wonderful it is. Oh, such dedicated and efficient administration. Yeah, and mass slavery and 50 million murdered people, not including the unborn babies. I mean, these are psychopaths. You fast forward to 2010, George Soros is running around telling anybody who will listen that Communist China has a better functioning government than the United States. They have a better economy than the United States. He says to the Financial Times they should own the New World Order in the same way that the United States owned the Old World Order. Fast forward to just a couple of years ago, Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, is on Communist Chinese propaganda television saying that China is a role model for the world. So they're a role model for the world. And all the big globalist evildoers, Bill Gates, I mean, constantly praising this murderous regime, funding their programs, working with them, trying to bring these ideas to the world. And you look back, here's where the COVID comes in. It makes it very clear. Rockefeller Foundation, 2010. I know you've seen this report. Put out this report with lockstep in it, right? How are we going to move the world toward a new world order? They got four scenarios. Lockstep seems to be the one they chose. And in there, it says the communist Chinese did it right. They locked everybody down. They forced everybody to behave in this way. They shut down the economy. And they said that was the model. And then these silly Western countries with their attachments to voting and individual rights, yeah, they suffered big time from the deadly pandemic. That's the narrative they were putting out. So folks, recognize you cannot understand the New World Order agenda without understanding China. And to bring it back to 2030 agenda, when this was adopted, this was incredible. Right after it was approved by every national government in the world, the Communist Chinese used all of their propaganda machinery, all their TV, all their newspaper outlets to brag, in their words, that they played a crucial role in developing the 2030 agenda. And that's very obvious when you read it. This is a CCP-style program for the world, and the sooner we get it, the better.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And the other thing about that we should pay attention to is there is one of our billionaire oligarchs that are running the controlled demolition of America, as far as I can see, that also bringing up Google, is Eric Schmidt. And people forget that Eric Schmidt ran Google China, which the people that were working at Google China revolted and they ended up shutting down Google China. But one of the things that was implemented during that time, and I think not coincidentally, also BlackRock and other people were involved at the time as well, was the social credit score, the track and trace surveillance, the way that they live now. We see videos that kind of sneak through of people being turned down for food or they can't travel or whatever. Their money shut off. It's tokenization of money. But what's also scary is that Eric Schmidt and Schmidt Futures is behind the scenes at the O'Biden White House, I guess, crafting the AI. The last book Kissinger wrote, he wrote with Eric Schmidt about the future of AI kind of controlling the world. And people don't see that. I especially look at Agenda 2030, 17 goals, number 16, about everyone having ID from birth to death. And then you've talked a lot lately about the digital public infrastructure, Internet of Body, Internet of Things. And when I look at that, I say, so the guy that's behind the scenes kind of running the tech side and also lots of Department of Defense contracts and all of that, Schmidt and all of his people are crafting basically the same exact thing that was in China that they already did and tried and worked for us. And yet nobody's really fully understanding that global digital ID is the entry to the technocratic totalitarian track and trace prison that will facilitate Agenda 2030.
It's exactly right, Mel. And again, if you want to see what the economic future looks like, Communist China is the pioneer. And they say this, right? They have pioneered the CBDCs. That's the model for the world. They're pioneering the digital IDs. That's the model for the world. And they're saying this openly. Now, Google's so interesting because Google is one of the many corporate players that are 100% on board with this agenda. So Peter Drucker, his public disguise was he's a management guru, a big time strategist for the global elites. He actually trained Rick Warren, the mega church pastor, who's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He described the process of creating major global changes as needing a three-legged stool approach. And so the first leg of the stool was the national governments, the public sector. And that's what Agenda 2030 did. It brought together all the national governments of the world behind this thing that they called the Master Plan for Humanity.
Well, thank you for watching the show. I hope you're enjoying it. I wanted to talk a little bit about a great new sponsor. If you suffer from chronic pain, as many people do, or even daily discomfort, have I got news for you. What you know about pain relief is changing forever. As we age, we have aches, we have pains, it's all normal, and we're always searching for the most effective way to relieve pain without side effects or addiction. Honestly, we all have seen the horrors of the opioid crisis. You may have been affected or known somebody who was, and now there's a pioneering medical scientist who comes in to change everything we know about pain relief, Clint Winters. He recently unveiled a breakthrough new natural pain reliever that is taking the world by storm. I am talking about Conilodine. Conilodine is a 100% drug-free way to get full body pain relief without dangerous pills. Conilodine has become the go-to pain reliever for millions of Americans and hundreds of professional athletes. In fact, it's so good that it's been named the official pain reliever of the UFC. And if anyone knows about pain, those guys do. So get this, Conilodine is the only compound on earth that optimizes your body's natural painkillers called endorphins at any age and revitalizes them back to when you were in your prime. Trust me, or better yet, my dad, who suffered from chronic pain all his life and now is finally getting relief. And there's no grogginess involved, none of the usual side effects. Also, with 14 years of extensive testing, Conilodine has shown no documented side effects. Conilodine is absolutely the future of pain relief. So click right now on the link below and check out Clint's incredibly informative report on how Conilodine is changing lives by affording safe, effective, powerful pain relief at one-tenth the cost of normal pain pills. If you click the link below right now, today, you can get Conilodine for less than $1 a day. Try Kono.com/MelK. TryKono.com/MelK. That's TryKono.com/MelK right now and try it for yourself. Click on the link below and use the code MelK. Get relief now and start living a healthier, freer life. Thank you so much and back to the show.
Then the World Economic Forum comes alongside. And just a couple of years after it was adopted, they signed a strategic partnership with the UN to implement the 2030 agenda. And their role, you can read this strategic partnership. The UN put out a press release and the World Economic Forum put out a press release. Their job is to bring the second leg of the stool to the table. The business interests, the private sector, the Googles, the Fortune 500 companies that the government, by the way, is working to crush all their competitors using COVID and other pretexts. Right. So business community comes in, governments come in, and the third leg of the stool is the religions of the world. And they're working on that too. They have a group called the Religions for Peace, funded by George Soros, funded by the US taxpayer, funded by the Rockefellers, absolutely wicked organization. And they met in Germany in 2019. And they actually publicly ratified a document. All the religious leaders of the world, at least purporting to represent all the religions right. of the world, came together and they agreed, we commit to human development as set forth in the 2030 agenda. So they've got all three legs of the stools. I've got the head of Religions for Peace on video saying, all religions are members of Religions for Peace. We are the UN of religions, all faiths. All religions are part. So I've done a survey of pastors. I was just speaking at a pastor's conference a few days ago. How many of you guys are members of Religions for Peace? And nobody raised their hand. So right. What does she mean that all religions are part of it? Well, all legitimate religions, right? So in China, you have legitimate religions, which are those that worship the Communist Party. They even have Christian churches approved by the state. They're called the Three Patriotic Self. They've got the Protestant and the fake Catholic denominations. And as long as you worship Xi Jinping and the Communist Party and you change your Bible to fit their ideology, you're a legitimate religion. If you're not, well, just like in China, we will chase you down. We'll call you a cult. We'll exterminate your members. We'll put you in re-education camps. So all of it comes back full circle. Communist China is the model on the business front, the religious front, and the government front.
Yeah, and people should know, I found this document a long time ago, Secular Democrats for America, written by Jamie Raskin and a bunch of people. This entire document turns the separation of church and state upside down to where the state rejects the church in every aspect of our lives. People can find this document out there still if they look for it. And we have to realize that all of this, including the work that you do on education and everything, is really to remove God and religion. Now, the scary part, and you've been on the forefront in exposing this, is I wonder how much the Johnson changes with the church and the IRS and the 501c3 and all of that plays out in the idea that the churches, synagogues, all religious communities aren't warning people about what is really going on. Do you think that this has something to do with actually federalizing by tax exemption and IRS infiltrating into the religious communities all over the world? Because the one thing, or all over America, the one thing that we all saw during COVID was that churches were saying, no, we can't open up. We're shutting down straight through Christmas, straight through everything else. Anyone that stayed open was persecuted. That was really important to them, that they shut down all religious institutions and schools. So to me, what happened to the pastors and churches and all them that before that time, they were the ones that were sounding the alarm to the community, and now they go along with whatever they're told? Is that the unholy alliance that maybe needs to be looked at?
That is one of the critical mechanisms that they've been using for generations now in our country. So this was the Johnson Amendment was a measure whereby any church that was caught getting involved in the political process, endorsing candidates or whatever, would lose its tax exemption. Now, that's never actually happened. They've never actually done that. I know pastors who have sent their sermons endorsing candidates, taking positions on political issues and referenda to the IRS saying, come at me. I dare you. I'll see you in court. And they never do because they know they're going to lose. Right? I mean, this is a very, very clear constitutional question. The federal government has no right to interfere in the sermons of a pastor. The pastor has free speech. The church has free speech. They can do whatever they like. But one of the other things that is one of the key tools that they've used, especially to silence conservative churches, Bible-believing churches. Of course, the Bible teaches more about government than it does about heaven. So any pastor who doesn't tell their congregation what the Bible says about government, including the most basic thing, why did God ordain civil government in the first place, is to punish evil. God already defined evil, by the way. They're falling short in their duty to, as the Apostle Paul put it, preach the full counsel of God, the whole counsel of God. But there's an even more insidious mechanism that's being used right now, Mel. The FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, set up what they called the Clergy Response Team, CRT.
Wow.
And this Clergy Response Team, they were training pastors to preach Romans 13 to their congregation. They're telling pastors what they need to be preaching, Romans 13. Now, for those who aren't familiar with your Bibles, you should read Romans 13. This is a very, very important passage on government. The Apostle Paul is writing in the Epistle to the Romans, the church in Rome. And he says a lot about government. And one of the things he says is that people are to submit to the higher authorities, which the Bible commands us to submit to government. But what FEMA was doing here was taking this wildly out of context and telling pastors to preach this to their congregations. Whenever there was an emergency, you just do what the government says. Well, that's not at all what the Bible teaches. Those passages need to be interpreted in light of the entire Bible. So go back to the very beginning, Exodus chapter 1. Right, one of the earliest books in the Bible, you have the king of Egypt commanding the Hebrew midwives to murder all the baby boys. And their response is, no, we're not going to murder the baby boys. You have deliberate defiance of authority by God's people. And then it says God dealt well with them because they feared God more than the king. So right at the very beginning, we see God's people resisting illegitimate authority. And we see it over and over and over again throughout the scriptures from the beginning to the end. Go to Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are ordered to bow down to this ridiculous golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. And they say, okay, we're not careful to respond to you about this. Our God can protect us from your fiery furnace, but even if he does, and he will protect us, but even if he doesn't, we're still not bowing down to your golden idol. We are to worship God and only God. Well, they get thrown in the burning fiery furnace. God protects them. And then God actually uses their defiance to bring the king to his senses. Over and over and over again, you see this pattern. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, the apostles say it is better to obey God than men. Right. And so we have a higher allegiance to God than to government. And the same is true with children, right? In Colossians, the Bible says children should obey their parents in all things. And just do a simple thought exercise. If I tell my son to go rob a bank, if I tell my daughter to go dance at the strip club to bring in some extra money, should they obey me? And we all know the answer is, of course not. That's ridiculous. And why? Well, because I'm not God, and God has commanded that we not do those things. The same is true for government. That's what the Bible teaches. And so this clergy response team is an abomination. It's a disgrace. The fact that Congress keeps funding this is a disgrace. And then they have another mechanism, Mel. And I've talked to several local pastors here who've been contacted by these people. They're working with nonprofit front groups, and they're trying to recruit pastors to spy on their congregations. Do you have any Christian nationalists in your congregation? Which, depending on whose definition you use, could be anybody, even non-Christians, exactly, if you believe your rights come from God. So this is incredibly dangerous. They're weaponizing religion against patriotism, against God, against our families, and against our country. And there are all these different mechanisms. They all need to be exposed, and they all need to be defunded.
Yeah, and you have a great book out about education right now, and people should really get that. And on top of that, you know, there has been an explosion in homeschooling, and you and I have been all over the country. I meet these children that were homeschooled everywhere I go. These are exceptional children. They really were. Everything that was good about them, their gifts were honed. They had the right attention. People say, oh, they're not going to socialize. Oh, yeah, they do. And they socialize even more and in more creative ways than if they're in the system. And, you know, they got their choice of whatever the schools are. Offering. Well, now you have a whole world of anything that excites you. You want to learn, you want to become expert at, here you go. So it's been incredible to watch the growth of homeschooling, especially post-COVID. But what I saw recently, and I know you brought up, Johns Hopkins, who's been involved in almost everything that has happened in the last 5 years that we can watch from agenda, you know, from event 201 forward, is now, they've gathered a group of people to study. And I saw Harvard has something like this as well, the dangers of homeschooling. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that, because you've been such an advocate, and we've seen such success out there in the whole homeschooling movement, even in doing different kinds of groups that are multiple families getting together and different things of bringing in people. So there's just all this great alternative energy in schooling because they're not doing it in the schools we pay for. So what is going on with Johns Hopkins? What is their fear? What are they putting out there to dissuade people from even considering it? I don't think it's going to work, but they are trying.
Yeah, they are, Mel. And there is a global war on homeschooling. It just hasn't become as obvious here in America because they don't dare take us on full front yet. But they will when they think the time is right. So they've got somebody over at Harvard, Elizabeth Bartholet, the head of the Child Advocacy Project, already publicly putting articles in law reviews advocating for the complete criminalization of homeschooling, which is what Sweden has done, which is what France has done, which is what Germany first did under Adolf Hitler. So that's the direction they want to move in. Now, this new institute that they're creating at Johns Hopkins, very, very dangerous. They're presenting themselves as just a research lab on homeschooling. We just want to know what's going on out there. Total fraud. And I think what's really happening here, after spending a lot of time going through their documents, looking at what they're saying, looking at who's funding them, my conclusion is, they have recognized that the homeschool movement is an incredibly tough nut to crack. The leadership of the homeschool movement across America is almost completely united against government influence, against government money, and against government interference in our home education. So even all the major national organizations, the HSLDA, every single one of the major state organizations, except one big state, all completely united in that we need a total separation of homeschooling from government. Well, what they've been trying to do, and they've been doing this, unfortunately, especially in Republican states, they're trying to sucker homeschoolers into taking government funds in exchange for submitting to the tests, meeting with government experts. Here in Florida, right? We got a funding bill for homeschoolers. We ended up cutting out homeschoolers. Now, if you're a homeschooler and you take the money, you're not a homeschooler. You have a personalized education plan. But what happens when you take the money? You got to take the government test. And we all know tests drive the curriculum. Tests drive what's taught. If you're going to take the government test, you're going to teach what the government wants taught. The data goes all to the state, and then it's shared with the universities and, of course, the U.S. Department of Education, everybody else. You also have to meet with what they call a choice navigator. In the statute, this choice navigator is supposed to assess the educational needs of your child. Well, we don't need somebody to assess the educational needs of our children. Thank you very much. We are more than competent enough to do that ourselves. So this is the way they're trying to come in through the back door. They want to create rival organizations that do research, discredit the ones that are already out there, like the National Home Education Research Institute. It's the best repository in the world on homeschool data, homeschool research, but they don't like them because they don't want government involvement in homeschooling. So now they're trying to create a rival association where they can try to break the unity of the homeschool movement, to go back with what we started at the beginning, right, and put the camel's nose under the tent so eventually they can get the whole filthy, stinking beast under there.
Exactly. Now I want to, I've been saying a lot to people, people have heard it. I've said in a lot of speeches, you know, Trump says they're not after me, they're after you and I'm in the way. I say they're not after America, they're after the world and America is in the way, and that should empower us. And because of our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, what our DNA to fight against bullies, our national, you know, pride, all this stuff that they're trying to destroy, but still exists. I still believe that it exists on a massive scale. It's just being tamped down by cognitive warfare and other things. But I do want to say that a lot of people seem to think, well, when Trump gets back in, then, you know, everything's going to change. Well, to me, when Trump gets back in, it's the beginning of the real heavy lifting, which is figuring out exactly how to, I hate to say drain the swamp, but really there's roots of this globalism, of this billionaire oligarchy, public-private partnership in every town, in every city, in every state. I mean, this is insidious. It's all over the place. The heavy lifting starts when we can change the regime that is fully in line with the globalists out. So let's say that, which he should, let's say Donald Trump wins and says, Alex Newman, can you come talk to me and tell me, you know, once we get in there, what are the priorities that we should hit first and foremost to start to change it back? Because as we all know, Barack Obama promised to fundamentally change America. And I think most people didn't realize he meant ripping up the foundations of everything that is America and starting over in this new globalist communist kind of, like you said, a mixture. Inclusive capitalism is what he talks about all the time, which is, like you said, it's just communism with capitalism mixed in. So let's say that you were there and you had to go through and say, this is where we start to make the best long-term impact, because we really do have to evaluate what's going on with the government and go back to, you know, the fundamentals of what they're actually supposed to be doing and not what they are doing right now.
Well, the first problem he's going to be confronted with if and when he wins is a massive uprising across this country, orchestrated with very, very significant assistance from geopolitically hostile regimes, including the CCP, including the Cubans, including the Venezuelans, including people we have long thought of as our allies. So that's going to be the first problem. You're going to have riots. You're going to have violence. You're even going to have, I believe, targeted assassinations, bombings, attacks on critical infrastructure. That's going to be the first step in getting this country back on track, is dealing with that. There are no good ways of dealing with it. There are less bad ways and there are really bad ways. And so I think and one of the things I've been doing is trying to connect with local and state law enforcement people to understand what's coming. They need to be prepared for what the evildoers will try to unleash on us if and when they see that our country is moving back in the right direction. Sheriffs, state law enforcement agencies are going to have a big role to play in this if and when it comes. Now, after we've dealt with that, we've got to deal with the foreign agents that we have all over our country. We've got spies here, partly because we have the UN headquarters on our soil, partly because we're the most important target. We've got the most advanced technology, the most robust economy. We've got to get them out of here. And so one excellent idea that I heard from a good friend of mine, Trevor Loudon, was you're going to create an amnesty program. You're going to say, look, you people have whatever it is, 30 days, 60 days. You're either out of this country or you come turn yourself in. We'll give you amnesty, but you're going to have to tell us everything you know. Who were you reporting to? Who were they reporting to? What were your instructions? What did you accomplish? What was still left to be done? Who were you working with? Who were the traitors in the government that you were dealing with? Right. We want to know everything. Right. And that's probably going to require a full scale dismantling of the existing intelligence and security agencies and a rebuilding from the ground up. I mean, you bring in the people who blew the whistle when they were supposed to, people who exposed what the NSA was doing, people who exposed what the CIA was doing, people who exposed what the FBI was doing. They're the ones who should rebuild from the ground up. Then we got to deal with education. I would recommend as strongly as possible, dismantle the U.S. Department of Education. Yep. Don't transfer those responsibilities to another bureaucracy. Just completely eliminate them. A lot of states would go back to doing more sensible stuff almost immediately, as soon as the federal funding was cut off. And then, you know, one more critical thing that I think would be very, very smart. I'm working to try to get this implemented if and when we have this opportunity. We've got to set up a commission of real constitutional scholars, not these woke liberals who got a law degree from some woke university and literally never read the Constitution.
Right.
Actual scholars of the Constitution who have a demonstrated track record. Start going through everything the federal government does. Is this authorized by the Constitution? If not, we're going to figure out how we're going to wind that down. If it's a legitimate function of government, we'll figure out how to transfer those responsibilities to the states. If it's not, we don't need anybody doing it in the first place. And that's going to be a long process, but those are things that I think would set us on the right track and move us in the right direction.
Yeah, and I think we can't fear whatever's coming, because like we are in a place where sacrifice and standing up for what's right, this happens throughout history, not just in this country, but every time that there has been tyranny. And we don't want to switch one tyrant for another tyrant. We want to switch it back to the people, by the people, for the people. And that involves really getting involved. And that's the thing that I think you've been doing almost more than anyone out there, which is showing up. You know, we have a big issue where there are a lot of people that want to get involved, or they show up to things that you and I speak at, and they're all active when they're there. And then when they leave there, they're kind of like back into the game of life, and they're kind of bogged down, and they got the debt and the kids and the this and the that. And I think people aren't understanding that right now is the time to go inside, really connect with what they believe, because the election of 2024, and I can't stress this enough, is not about Donald Trump or Joe Biden. It's certainly not about left and right, Republican and Democrat. It is what every single American citizen wants for this nation going forward. I see it as a time to really, really, you know, for that people should be going inside, assessing who they are, what their purpose is, what they want for themselves, the future, and take responsibility and ownership as citizens of this country and really do their part. So to me, I think right now is an exciting time for people. I think they should really dig inside and become leaders and change makers and get really involved. So I just wanted to end on you telling people kind of from your point of view, because you have been, you go around, first of all, you're a great husband and father on top of going around the country speaking anywhere you can to wake people up. But to the people out there that are kind of on the fence, like, I don't know what I can do. One person can't do anything. You know, somebody else is going to do it. What do you say to them out there? The people that are like, well, because we got 6-7 months here that are going to be really chaotic, and we really need as many people standing up in person as possible, in my belief.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Mel. And I always say, start close to home and then work your way out. So first get your house in order, make sure your children are getting a good education, a real education. And then from there, you know, make sure you're prepared for some tough times ahead, and then start working outward. Who are the people on your city council? Who's your mayor? Are they good people? Who's your sheriff? Who's on your county commission? Are they good people? If not, well, we got to figure out who's good. Who can we replace them with? Work on the state level, then your state representative, your state senator, right? Just start close to home. Who are they? Go meet them. Set up an appointment with them. Create a local grassroots organization. Get involved in your church. Get involved in distributing true, useful information in your community through the different vehicles available to you. And of course, to be able to do that, we have to have good information. So make sure you're subscribed to Mel K. Make sure you're sharing out these videos with people in your community. Make sure you're getting true, useful information that you can then disseminate to make change at the local level. We may not be able to control what happens in Congress right now, but if everybody listening to us now, if everybody who's going to the Reawaken America events, everybody who's involved in the movement in some way focuses on making real lasting change at the local level, that's going to have a tremendous impact in what happens in Washington, D.C. We need to recognize, too, and I love that you said this, Mel, we cannot rely on one man to save us, right? Donald Trump, I really appreciate what he's done. I'm very much looking forward to another Trump administration. But he can't do this on his own. We need to, first of all, put our trust in God, and second of all, recognize we're part of the solution. We cannot just say, hey, my governor or my president's going to take care of this for me. If you're not doing something, then you're part of the problem, frankly. So find where you fit in. Maybe that's getting involved in your local party. Maybe that's running for city council. Maybe that's starting a Christian school. All kinds of things we could be doing. But if you're not doing something,
right,
for the cause of our children, our freedom, our country, then you're part of the problem. So find out where you should be, get there, and get working.
Thank you for watching the show. I'm so excited that my friend Charlene over at Truth About Cancer is now a sponsor of my show, and she has turned me on to the best skincare cleanser out there. I am so excited. I have found Charlene's Calming Facial Cleanser. If you want your skin feeling refreshed, clean, radiant, and calm, right now, you got to try this cleanser. It is a moment of tranquility in a busy world. It's infused with soothing ingredients, just like Charlie's. She always picks all of the best products out there that are toxic-free, that are great for your skin, that give short and long-term benefits, and a facial cleanser that makes me feel like my face is totally cleansed, totally refreshed, ready for whatever I have ahead of me is worth its weight in gold to me. And I'm very excited to announce Charlie's Calming Facial Cleanser. You can get a 20% off if you go to the Charlie's store right now on anything at the Charlie's store. I highly recommend this cleanser. It is the best I've found out there. So go to charlies.beauty/Mel K. Use the code Mel K at charlies.beauty/Mel K. What are you waiting for? Treat yourself or a loved one to the gift of radiant, clean, calm, beautiful skin that's glowing and that makes you feel good about what you look like in the mirror. Everyone will be stopping you and saying, what are you using? And I am telling you, Charlie's Calming Facial Cleanser is a game changer. Go to charlies.beauty/Mel K. Use the code Mel K at the Charlie's Beauty Store on anything. But I am telling you right now, this Charlie's Calming Facial Cleanser will leave you so happy that you went over there and you started this new regimen. Charlie's Calming Facial Cleanser. charlies.beauty/Mel K. Go over there right now. Thank you.
Yeah. And I want to say, because it's funny that you brought it up. So recently I wanted to look for your video or an article that you wrote years ago about the CCP and the positions that they held, because you went through it in the UN. And I Googled Alex Newman, CCP, UN, nothing. And like you said, it's probably on page 80. But what I did get was a whole bunch of sources that were either connected to the UN, World Economic Forum, UNESCO, and the trusted sources, the authoritative sources, and then Reuters and all of them. I think everyone's clear at this point, at least that watches me, that all of them are working. They're basically intel news. But we do have to remember that there is a censorship situation going on. So I do want people to go directly to Liberty Sentinel and all of your other places that they can find you, and make sure that everyone out there that you are subscribing to newsletters, you're following people, you're bookmarking websites, because I had an argument with, I argued with an AI the other day, because the AI, I kept trying to make the, I was just having fun, but I was trying to make it, it was defending Marxism, telling me I was being too harsh, that agenda 2030 is not a dystopian vision, that I, don't scaremonger, the AI is telling me, and I'm laughing at just out of my mind. And then it kept telling me that I should trust authoritative sources, not alternative media. And I said, well, what are the authoritative sources? New York Times, AP, Reuters, Washington Post. And I'm like, well, those are all biased, government funded, you know, left leaning. Can you tell me some conservative authoritative sources? And it kind of like Wall Street Journal. I mean, it was so crazy and funny to me, but it's not funny. So can you tell everyone where to follow you, how to find you? You do a prolific amount of work, not just writing, but podcasts. You also have some other great people that are doing work for you over at your website. So can you tell everyone, and please make sure you subscribe everywhere Alex Newman is. There is no one out there that is dropping more truth, not just for America, but for the world right now, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thank you so much, Mel. You are very kind. My personal website is libertysentinel.org. Sentinel is behind me for those watching us. It's S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L, and it's got to be .org. Free newsletter. We send it out twice a week with the most important stuff. I'm senior editor at The New American. Go to thenewamerican.com. I do encourage people to subscribe to the print magazine. The tech totalitarians can't censor that yet. You can also get the free daily newsletter. It comes out with the most important articles we've done each day. If you're interested on the education side, my new book is Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, How Government Schools War on Faith, Family, and Freedom, and How to Stop It. That's available anywhere good books are sold. And then publicschoolexit.com if you need help getting your children out, if you want to stay on top of what's going on the education front. I write for a lot of different publications, including the Epoc Times and the Law Enforcement Intelligence Brief, which is primarily for police chiefs and sheriffs. but a lot of different stuff out there. But most of it you can find at libertysentinel.org. And thank you so much, Mel. Really appreciate you.
Well, I love being here. And I wanted to remind the audience, I will be at the UN on the 25th with a whole bunch of patriots fighting against the World Health Organization treaty, which is part of everything that Alex is talking about. It's just a tentacle in their whole plan of Agenda 2030. So if you want to join us there, go to the MelKayShow.com events page and make sure that you subscribe to both Alex and me anywhere you can. We are not giving up. This is a hill worth dying on for me. And I certainly believe for a lot of my audience and Alex, we are not, we will not be taken over by anyone. We, the people of the United States, matter. And I hope everyone out there follows Alex. Thank you so much, sir. I'll see you on the road and keep up the great work. It is phenomenal to watch you go. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And God bless you.
We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkayshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now. Great news, guys. We've been beta testing with my founding members, the Mel Kay Show, live on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. And it is going incredibly well. We have a community that we all connect. We can share information. Questions are asked of me, of other people. We share back and forth. This is really a place to go on Sunday nights. Get ready for the week. Share what's working, what's not working, how we can make things better, how we can align with each other. Wherever you are in the country, there's many things you can do. So we've added locals now. So on Locals, you can also join us on Sunday nights, or you can join members.themelkayshowlive.com. The members at melkayshowlive.com is a community for you that continues 24/7, 7 days a week. We put up many different things there, ideas, documentaries that are great. People tell what they're doing in their local community. They can reach out to other people all over the country. It's kind of has a cool Facebook vibe, but it's really about community, fellowship, helping each other. We'll be right back.